GoLite presents the Talking Bollocks podcast.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Till your body attends. Walk it high and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Boom! Episode 51 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Jack Bourne.
The Jack Bourne fella. So Jack, with us today. How are you?
All good, lads. All good. Thanks for having me.
Everyone bleeding sticky.
Anyway,
look at him.
Yeah, have to get back busy. I haven't done that in 10 months anyway.
Problem living that fella.
Lads, everyone now is going to be assuming we have an affiliation with Bladen Rovers, aren't they?
No, they're just the boys.
Season ticket.
Lads, we had Graham in, now we have the Jack. These are the boys. They're from town as well. But Jack, zingers from last week. Yeah, we're going to jump straight in, Would you rather a can of something or a bottle of something?
Bottle, 100%.
Bottle?
Really? Yeah, bottle of Coke over a can of Coke.
Whatever.
No.
If you're having a bottle, you can't have a bottle of Coke or that. I'm talking about beer. If you're having a beer, you have to have a bottle.
Yeah, I'd agree. And a lot of people said that it was
bottle of wood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having a can of Coke or something, it has to be a can.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the bottle just goes flat. Yeah. And it's always bouncing around the car somewhere. You open it, fizzes all over the place. Anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a bottle 29%, a can 71%. Right, this is a good one for you, Would you rather Ireland win the 2026 World Cup or we get the six counties back?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it, boys? Yeah.
Play a card, right? You could be in that squad.
Yeah. That is a hard one. Oh, I probably should have asked James McLean that question.
Yeah. Give him a shout. We're trying to play and get him on.
I think he'd pick the World Cup. Do you know what? It'd be unbelievable. Imagine Ireland won the World Cup. This place would be... Just when we are qualifying for tournaments under Jack Charlton, put them under pressure, was on the whole country is bouncing, like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine they won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
So you got the World Cup?
World Cup.
You went around about way about.
Oh, no,
What they say?
They're fucking close.
It's very close,
48% at the World Cup, 52% at the
county. No way.
That's close.
It's happening to a lot of history, the six counties. 100 years ago, since Bladen, they were gave over since the treaty was signed or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's it's a big deal, lads. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think I'd go with the six counties back.
Yeah,
why not?
Bro.
The
country,
well, I missed that history lesson in Joey's because it was kicked out at that stage.
We'll get into that one.
Right, next one is a cow's lick or a calf's lick?
Calf's lick.
Yeah, a cow's lick.
That's all the culture.
You said that last week.
All the culture say it. And then someone tried to get smart and it's like it's a calf's lick when you're a kid and then when you grow up it's a cow's lick. How's that make sense?
That's someone telling you that with wearing a pair of Timberlands or something.
Yeah.
Some mad culture.
A cow's lick 35, a calf's lick 65. Do you rather a cup of coffee or a cup of tea?
Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Cappuccino. Caramel cappuccino.
You said a cup of tea in there, but I nearly fell out.
That's because I was looking at the coffee machine. It wasn't up to my standard, lads. I think needs a bit of a wash.
Sort us out with one, Jack. Well, you awarded the Bladen fortune.
I wish.
46%. Tea wonder.
Did it?
Did it, yeah?
Tea, 54%. I'm fuming, boys. How'd a cup of tea win that?
That's because...
When's the last time you had a cup of tea, tell the truth?
27 then. Easily, boys. I haven't had a cup of tea in years.
Yeah, no, I like a cup of tea as well now, but coffee all day.
Yeah, but I've a cup of tea as well, the tea bag and all that. Ain't shite, you know what I mean? Coffee all day. Yeah. Like, no one goes out and gets a cup of tea. Everyone goes out and gets a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but in your house, you're always drink. You drink a cup of tea before you drink a cup of coffee, no?
No, coffee all day, bro. Yeah, coffee
even before
all day.
You go to bed or whatever.
I know. Do you drink tea before you go to bed?
I'd have a cup of tea. Yeah, I'd have a biscuits cup of tea. Or something,
Oh, no. I'd have a cup of coffee whenever in the gaff. I'm only having a cup of coffee now. I'm bouncing. Do you know what I mean? like down a hoover.
But that's his English boxed off anyways.
What was the percentage? Hang on, what was the percentage?
54, 46.
That's close enough.
How's coffee not win that?
Because we have a lot of Bladen Elmonds and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, stick the kettle on there. Alan Gannon voting on the
voting twice and all.
Have 20 cups
making
of tea.
Making pages and all the voting.
Oh, my Lord.
That's the singers boxed off. Jack, have you got a singer now? Take your time again.
Just say no.
Do you know what? Actually,
we have all
day. Actually, I don't think I'll come back with one though.
Yeah, have you got one?
As we kick on.
My one's Dutch, yeah.
Go for it.
What do you call that?
Knuckle touch.
Yeah. What do you call that?
Knuckle touch.
Fist pump or a knuckle touch?
Knuckle touch.
Fist
pump is a bad one, isn't it? Yeah. Gosh, I think to us, I said I'll take about running low, Jack.
Yeah. Remember everyone sat down to start the lockdown, the elbow touching and all. Just do the blade and knuckle touch and stop being stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a decent one.
Go.
So, when you're having a bag of chips, do you pour the sauce or do you put the sauce on the side to dip into it?
That is a good one, yeah.
Or just leave it in the cup.
Yeah, so do you dip your chips in?
Just dip it, yeah.
You dip it, yeah. Mm. You wouldn't do that with curry sauce, though.
Now, there's weirdos out there that actually pour the sauce on the side of the plate and then dip off the side of the plate.
That'd be a dip off, no?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Boy, what do you have a separate here,
plate? Because you know them people that get, they only get one small curry sauce instead of just getting two.
A big yield, you know, like a bat of curry sauce. You know what I
mean? And then they're sharing out and they're pouring on the side of the plate. It's not for me, like, get your own.
So you're a dipper, not a pourer?
Yeah, I'm a dipper.
Yeah. It's a weird one because, like, if you're dealing with garlic sauce, I wouldn't pour garlic sauce all over my chips.
No, you can't.
You dip it. But with curry sauce, I pour it all over.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, you just get curry chips then, wouldn't you?
No, but like in the curry shop or something like that, you have the tub of curry sauce beside it. I wouldn't be like, take my chicken ball out and dip it, I'll just pour it all over.
Yeah.
So it's a weird, I'm not contradicting my own fucking thing on it.
Yeah, Sean, I'm sitting there babbling now, what are you?
No, if you get a chipper. You get a little curry sauce and you have like a battered sausage.
Yeah, and you dip it.
Pour all over battered sausage.
Yeah, but if you go to the curry shop.
Yeah, if you get a curry, then you will pour the curry sauce over like chips and
whatever.
And all that,
you know what I mean? Scrambled.
Yeah.
So what are you going with?
50-50.
Yeah. Fuck it, I'm going to say dipper.
Dipper.
Yeah, we go dipper. Yeah, three dippers, yeah.
Three dippers.
Yeah. The old chicken dipper.
Oh, yes.
Which camera are we on? Give me this camera over here, Johnny, yeah?
Yeah!
That's a bad one. Get it, that's weeks.
About 20 episodes that's been trying to hit that.
Fuck me, man. The Lord, yeah.
Guys, some shot to be fair.
Yeah, I'm in fairness, you had to miss a load of them, though.
Well, come here, I'm late at the arts, bro.
Yeah.
Late.
I heard.
I'm good at that, yeah.
That's I'm already as well, to be fair.
Right, we got for the game of arts after this, yeah.
I know he was in Holland before the games now. We have still tournaments, like.
You were in your time, which just playing dark.
Still pretty much, basically, yeah. No, this is in Holland. This is not in Cyprus. We used to be playing. We used to play darts all the time because it's huge over there.
Yeah. The fan game.
Every pub, darts, everything.
And what, you were cleaning up?
Yeah, we were in a lot of pubs, weren't we?
Right. Yeah, well, just as well you cleared that up, you mean that kind of darts and not the other one.
I didn't know which one he was saying. Good at.
Both. Look at the hung on me.
Smoking a shower, that yoga.
Yeah, hook the words out of me mouth.
Fucking red cunt. Yeah.
Right, having a bit of beef with somebody we are, yeah? Well, no. So a few months ago, we done a thing with the journal about gentrification and the working class areas and how people are being priced out of houses and, you know, like, people can't afford to buy their own house and what have you. Then we heard that somebody was giving us a bit of stick about it and they're a teacher. And I thought that was a bit wrong, a bit hard
so
done, boy.
A couple of messages to the Talking Bollocks page.
About it, you know what I mean? Like, fair enough if you say, yeah, we're wrong. Don't be saying, look at these two idiots.
Yeah.
But then we like, right, well, we won't get into it. We'll have a look at that's grand. And someone reached out to us again and said, we were brought up in conversation because there was a journalist brought into the school and somebody says, have you listened to Talking Bollocks? And the journalist says, no, never heard of them.
Because they had Nicola Tallant on.
Yeah, and she's a big journalist. And the same teacher stood up and goes, dear Tim McGregor wannabes, I wouldn't recommend listening. So
it's a good example,
we can be petty as well and eat the back off that teacher. We've had plenty of problems with teachers on this podcast before. We talked about our personal stories with teachers. Mm. But anybody who's in that school, you just know who the teacher is. We're putting her out there. We want to come up and we want to have a talk in front of the whole school with that teacher and we'll discuss it with them and we'll show them.
This is a teacher, right, who doesn't come from an area.
Where's she from?
Like us.
It's a he.
It's a fella, yeah, it's a fella. Now, I know where he's from and it's a nice area, yeah. You'd like to grow up there, do you get me?
Yeah.
But you're not from the same
area. We don't want to name it.
Yeah, we won't name it, but we know where
he's
from.
Trouble.
What, like, just being a wanker, like, why would you, I'd get if you put it on and be like, this is where it's wrong and whatever.
And criticise us. You know, if we were saying something is 20 and he's like, you're wrong, it's actually 21. Yeah. Like, all right, fair enough, we're wrong there. But he's like, they're just two idiots.
Yeah. The point is, in that interview I said, growing up in the flats years ago, there wasn't really much to do. All there really was to do was to play football at foot. Yeah. So he took this literally and was supposedly laughing to the class, right? When... Like, I don't mean you literally just go out and fight and play football all day. What I mean is there's only boxing clubs and football clubs around. Down at the flats. Did you ever see a golf course beside the flats?
No.
Ever see a fucking rugby pitch? Yeah, man, like that. There's nothing like that down there. So when I say that, I don't mean you literally go out and fight or play football all day. There's only local football clubs and local boxing clubs. Yeah. And where this fella grew up, there's a tennis court close by. Yeah. There's a rugby pitch. There's Gaelic games. There's all these close by. And he'll sit up there and he'll laugh and go, oh, look at this fella saying this. But you're taking it too literally, do you get me?
Look, until you walk in other people's shoes, you shouldn't really comment on the on that, you know.
And especially, he's a teacher, right? So what? When we were talking about this and we were looking at him saying, is there a sense of jealousy there that you're spending 5 days a week talking to these kids and we're spending, what, 2 hours a week? And they're probably listening to us more. That you're going to criticise us and try and put us down.
Yeah.
So we're open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it organised. We'll come up and we'll have an open discussion and we'll show you.
Yeah.
Are it's quite unprofessional, isn't it, though, Jack? Like,
no, it is. Like, yeah, but we grew up here. We know what it's like to grow up around here. Do you know what I mean? I've had many mates that have gone down the wrong path. Do you know what I mean? And true, half of it is true, no fault of their own, you know. It's circumstances of where some of them do grow up and the people that they do end up being around and the situations that Ballybock flats and places like that do present to you, you know what I mean? And as a young kids, it's not easy to make your own way, and some of them might not have the best families around them, and you can get brought into stuff you mightn't necessarily want to be involved in.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't get easier then when you're getting older and you're grown through that and you're looking for a way out as well. Sometimes you might have made mistakes when you were younger. And then, you know, when you talk about stuff like that, about housing prices around here, crazy.
Yeah.
Like someone coming from the flats and going into an ordinary job, and not only from where we live, even where, you know, people from outside where we live, right, fair enough, they might have a bit of help from their families financially or whatever. You don't get that in the flats. You don't get that
in these working class.
You don't get that help. And, you know, that's all I would ask people to do more is to try and help young kids. And not put them down or try and put down people's circumstances. Or, like, we know people go in for the job interview, they say they're from Dunkirk when they're from Ballybuck.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because they don't want that stereotype basically about them.
And we touched on that in the interview. Like, that exact point, you have to change it. You used to have to
and
change
it. And
I
see with me, like, I don't think I'm anything. I don't think I'm anyone. I am one of my mates. I'm
one of the boys.
Part of my environment. I'm where I'm from, and that the things you can't change about you, you know, where you're brought up, where you know, your family, models, everything, that makes you who you are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That gives you your characteristics growing up. That makes you who you are. So I see the way some people would look at maybe some of my mates ahead of they look at me. And then when they know that some of my mates maybe will be with me, they'll say, oh, no, they're all right. Even you go up to a place in town or whatever, my mates will be ringing me saying, Jack, I'm outside, can you get me in?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, yeah, all right, I'll go up. And then I'll say, oh, no, listen, he's with me there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's grand. Yeah, sorry about that. Go ahead, lads. And you're thinking, like, do you know what I mean? Just because they say a group of lads coming up from town think it's going to be fucking
hassle.
It's not. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that. But these people from these areas, and they look down on that kind of perception of it, where people from town, we think, oh, everyone's against us. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But it's people like that, them teachers that are saying them things about that. Do you know what I mean? Two McGregor wannabes or, two lads from town doing well in something that you want to do and, you know, trying to better yourselves. And he's saying, I don't listen to them, two McGregor wannabes from agents. What kind of an example is that?
But that's what I'm saying.
To the class.
He's a teacher as well. Yeah. So that's someone like in a position like that. He's teaching what 30-odd children say. They're looking to him for guidance. They're going to listen to what he has to say. And he's just saying, no, don't listen to them. What, like, would you not rather go through and say, no, this is where Terence went wrong and Calvin could have said this better? Instead of just saying, no, do you know what?
He doesn't turn around and say, well, the housing prices aren't like that.
That's what I mean.
Here's an example. If you can get blah, blah, blah.
That's what I'm saying. If it was like, that's 20, no, it's 21. That's where you're wrong.
And if he ever turns around and says that, we'll say, okay, no problem. How much do I need for a deposit for a gift? What is it? They give 3.5%, 3.5 times your salary,
yeah.
3.5 times your salary. It's the average salary probably someone's earning around town.
Yeah.
Probably 20 grand, 25 grand a year, grand, something like that. Okay, times 3.5, what's that, 100 and...
No, 60, grand. 70 grand.
70 grand, right? Plus a deposit.
Yeah.
So you're talking you need a 10% deposit on a gaff. Would you get a gaff around town for less than 500 grand?
No, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's not even a gaff anywhere.
So have you got a choice to be on the hap? or to be in council houses, and even there's not enough of them being built at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So look, people can say what they want, but until they walk and walk, this is
people would say, look, you'll hear people saying sometimes, are these people from working class areas, they go on, they have a chip on their shoulder about everybody else. Don't have a chip on their shoulder. No, when you hear things like this from people who aren't from the same 100%. Background or even anyway,
they don't understand and they never will understand.
But they'll put us down quickly.
100%, 100%. And look, I'm probably not in that situation. Do you know what I mean? I've been lucky. I've had good jobs.
I've worked hard,
do you know what I mean? I took a chance when I was younger. Mm-hmm. The reason I went away at 14 is because I didn't really want to be getting involved in some of the stuff necessarily that I was saying that was going on around me. So I had to leave, I had to go. And I made something for myself, do you know what I mean? So I might not be in that situation where I come back and I might be looking for the house and I can't get a deposit up. But that's nothing got to do with me. I'm one person out of how many other thousands my age in town. And my own mates that I look at saying, where are they going to get a chance? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Where are they going to really push on and how are they going to push on? And something needs to change. And it comes from people like that not being so branded.
Yeah.
Really, that's the only word. Just don't be so branded about the whole thing.
So that's what we're doing here now. So we could sit here and easily criticise him, call him a fucking idiot, say, I don't listen to your teacher. But no, we're going to have a constructive conversation. Yeah. That exact example you gave there, where we sit down and we go through it, we're putting an open invite out there to that school, us two and that teacher, in front of the students, and we see who the bigger fucking idiot is then. 100%. Do you know what I mean?
And again, we're not going to name the school or anything like that, but it's a local school.
He knows who he is, and I'm sure the students who obviously listen, like they're obviously fans of the podcast, and they obviously see something in the podcast, which is why they reached out to the journalists and said, have you listened to them? And them talking to a journalist, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Trying to relate to who they have in the school. And the fella saying, I don't bother listening to them.
Yeah.
So let's have this constructive conversation and we'll change our perception of us two fucking idiots here. So we'll see who the big boy is then. Are you open to have an intellectual conversation with two fucking idiots?
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah, well, you know we won't, so
we'll see what happens.
Well, the option is there for Jack, we're going to jump straight into you this week. So, what's your name? Where'd you come from?
Jack Bourne from Ballybuck.
Right. And what was life like growing up, Jack?
Do you know what? Great life growing up, man. We had a great life, honestly. We had everything you could have wanted. It's just, we had community centres, all that kind of stuff, playing football. That's all I wanted to do, was play football. I had good mates, you know. I had really good friends who I'm still close with now. And, you know, I think I have their back as much as they have my back. And, yeah, just really good family and, that's all you can ask for, really. You know, with great neighbours, even though you don't really get that when you go outside of town. You know what I mean? I know people that live outside of town don't even talk to their neighbours.
Yeah.
We go into my neighbours' gaff at 11 o'clock at night if I need a bit of milk. Do you know what I mean? Down, that's what it's like. It's just completely different.
That, Jack, because my mum moved out of the flats and I was only young, probably 11, 12 years of age. I moved up beside Cabra. Now, I used to always get out to the flats still every day, but any time I didn't, so I had my friends up there as well. I made friends up there. And any time I was up there, I always felt myself trying to explain to them what the flats were like and how great they were. And they, some of them up there, you'll say, you're a little chav and all. What the fuck's a chav, mate? Do you know what I mean? Fighting them and all, you know what I mean? But all I felt like I was doing any time I wasn't in the flats was trying to explain how great they were.
Yeah.
Do you get me? Yeah. And the communities like that, that's something that you can't really explain, isn't it?
You can't explain, like, when you're in tight-knit communities like that, like Ballybuck, so we were all up the road from, say, even where Paul's early is, Portland Place. From all around there, like that whole area, we were all good mates, like, you know what I mean? Obviously, Ryan and that, and when we were growing up, we'd all be good friends, and it was just a bit of crack, do you know what I mean? We were just mad.
Yeah.
The stuff we had then was just good crack, do you know what I mean? We might have stepped over the line once or twice.
Well, look, we won't condemn you on the podcast, so watch what you're saying there. Yeah.
But it was always good crack, do you know what I mean? It was never any malice in it, like, and collecting and all that when you were growing up. And, like,
the best days of life.
These things you still think about now, like, you know what I mean? There's still memories that stick out in your mind. But, you know, as I said, I obviously moved away at 14. So I lost my father. My father died when I was 11. So we were obviously dealing with that. He got cancer. We were obviously dealing with that from the time I was 9. So he started getting sick and then just progressively getting worse and worse. So that was obviously tough, do you know what I mean? And then that obviously took a toll on my mom, took a toll on my family. My brother was brilliant. He stepped in, bring me to the football. Another close brother as well, Flynn, he would have helped out as well and brought me to football, brought me to games. So, you know, it was kind of growing up that age, and I was 11. And then from 11 to 13, you kind of, you start doing really well then, the football. And I always knew it was going to go away then, do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I always had one eye on, well, I'm going to be going soon, because like when I was a kid, it was very good, do you know what I mean? It was really
good. And you knew good. You
were good. I knew it was good, yeah. Like, I know it's strange to say, but when I was 11, it was probably like I was 16, you know what I mean? In my head, I had gone through so much before leading up to that, and then, you know,
you matured quicker.
Yeah,
like,
what happened, I matured, I had to mature, and I was always thinking ahead then to, like, this, I am better than a lot of these kids, and obviously a lot of interest and stuff, and I knew it was going to be going away, and yeah, but That was really it. Like, it's just...
What age did you get into the football at?
I was playing football since early, like, since I was 2, 3, like, throw ball.
That
and,
young?
You're kicking ahead.
And, you know, but it's mad to say I was always very good, you know what I mean? So it was always really good, even, like, younger ages and stuff like that. I was always really good. So kind of knew I had a bit of a talent and just needed to work at it and just try and get the best out of it, really.
Yeah.
And then you were saying, so when you were about 11 to 13, there was like offers? Or...
Yeah, so like I have offers then, like going on trials, Celtic, Arsenal, Liam Brady.
How did that come about? They come over and watch you playing football.
Yeah, so I started playing for the DDSL team, was doing well. Was playing for St. Kevin's. Then around 12, 13, you start getting the Ireland call-ups and you start playing a little bit there. So was doing that. Sorry. And then just more and more clubs start to hear you. They start coming watching. They have scouts in Ireland. So I was keeping an eye on you, always thinking when he can get you over. So I probably went away for the first time when I was about 11 or 12. So I was playing that DDSL Premier and then the Kennedy Cup. And then after the Kennedy Cup, then everyone came in. Chelsea, we scored a hat-trick in the semi-final. Like, it was doing really well, like, you know.
Is that why you always sent a mid?
Centre mid, yeah, I always played centre mid. So I was doing really well, and then Man City, Chelsea, United, I went after United 6 times, Arsenal once, Chelsea once. But I kind of liked Man City, I liked what they were still a small club.
Would they have been in that building stage at this time?
Yeah, it was kind of lucky for me because they were still a small club. But they had just been taken over by obviously the richest people in world football at that time. So they had a plan of where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
And they wanted to basically build an academy of the best players in the world. It was basically a world academy they wanted to build.
Yeah.
And obviously we were kind of the first batch of that then. Yeah. You know what I mean? The 13, 14, 15-year-olds going into the 18s then. We were that first kind of batch. And you see it now. It's like, it's incredible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're signing players for 8-9 million to play in that under 23s, like, you know what I mean? It's crazy. So, but yeah, it got lucky in that sense. Obviously, it was the club I wanted to go to. It was still quite a small club, family club, still had a lot of the old staff there, but it was gonna move into the big club that it obviously is today. And and obviously they could compete with the other teams. They could compete with Chelsea with their offers, United, you know, Tottenham, all these kind of
and
teams.
And then see what the contract offers. So you offered contracts off these other teams as well?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what way does that work? So because you're so young, you obviously can't get paid.
No, I had an agent.
Right.
Yeah, so I had an agent. So basically, when I knew who I wanted to go, that we picked, I said, I don't really want to know about the money. I want to go. This is where I want to go. And they were brilliant with me. They brought my family over. You know, we all had a look around and you know, I was there 6 or 7 times. I went and stayed in the digs that I was going to stay in. Mika Richards used to stay there. So there was one other Irish lad in there when I went over. So I got a feel for it, and it was the club I wanted to go to. And then I kind of went to them and said, what's the offer? Do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't as if we could turn around if they offered me X amount and Arsenal had offered me 5 times more. You're going to have family in your ear saying, listen, Jack, you kind of have to think about this a little bit more. You might want to push it towards here because, you know, financially at that stage for me, it wasn't an extra 100 quid a week or 200 quid a week. Do you know what I mean? You're talking thousands.
Big money,
I mean? So it's not as if you can say, it's only a lot of the young lads going from Ireland or you know, from before they would have been going over to, you know, on YTS contracts, or, you know, they might have went over on £800 a week and a 2 year YTS on £100 a week and then a 1 year pro. Where for me, I signed a five year, you know, a 1 year YTS, a 3 year pro.
Yeah.
So it was basically a 3 year professional contract. Mm. And then I was getting paid, obviously, when I wasn't meant to be getting paid before that, paying me basically in agent's fees and stuff like that. So it wasn't as if you were just talking about £100 here, like, well, it's not really important. If you're rather there, go there. You know what I mean? It was a big package.
Big money,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So
and it's not just you, your family as well. 100%,
like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I had obviously left, you know, my family, nobody working there at that stage. Like, my father just died, obviously, a couple of years before. My ma, I had obviously sister, brother, all that at the time. So obviously, it all comes into, you know, you're thinking, like, you know what I mean? And it's not just about you then. You're kind of thinking, right. And that's why I say I probably grew up a little bit too quick in that sense, because it was obviously, I probably had that worry on my shoulders of, you know, thinking I might have to carry the family here at 14, 15 years of age.
Yeah.
Although they would never, ever put me under that pressure, and they'd never ask
anything. But you brought that on yourself.
But you're just bringing that on yourself. Do you know what I mean? As you probably want yourself, do you know what I mean? If you are in that situation, saying, Rui, well, this is a little, you know, way out kind of, do you know what I mean? Although, if I asked my mother to move out like after tomorrow, she would never move. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Nothing like that, like, you know. But just a bit of help, that's all, isn't it? Yeah. I think I can help here, that's all. So, so obviously made the decision. They obviously got in touch with my agent and they offered the best package out of a lot of them. So happy days.
So it
was the place we wanted to be, and it was the most money. So it was like win-win.
Yeah. Right. I just want to touch back on something that you mentioned at the start, because obviously we went to the same school, right?
Yeah.
And what I remember as well is you were away constantly. So like you'd never really be in because you're constantly on trials, But the way your school is, it's an ancient building. So sometimes you have to walk through one classroom to get to another classroom. So do you never have that in schools, no? So it's a weird one.
Patrician doors.
So like you'd be sitting in one class and then people from another classroom, like if they wanted to leave, they'd have to come through your class to get to the hall. You know, like that. So I remember sitting in class one day and this fella like storms through, had to get fucked out and he couldn't give a bollocks. He was giving the loads, chest out, shoulders back, fuck this and all, you know what I mean? But then like after blading, getting the head out, he couldn't give a fuck, walks out. But then like you'd be going out and you'd be playing, I think you were about blading 13, 14 at the time, but then you'd be going out and you'd be playing for the school's 18s. Do you know like that? So did you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure, I remember when, remember obviously loads of times, but mate, the same thing we talk about with teachers and people, like not from that area, like that new principal came in from our school, Reese, was it?
I don't know what school.
I can't remember where he came from, but he was a.
We won't say.
In French.
Yeah.
And this fella, there's people coming in, right? My ma had only buried her husband like 3 years before this, right? And I was coming in and I had a black pair of, you know, Nike runners, basically, but all black. And we were killing two boards with the one stone, basically. Get the runners and use them as school shoes as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're not allowed to wear them.
Yeah.
I said, hang on a blade minute, like, what do you expect me to go out and buy a new pair of 70 quid runners? Yeah. And then you have white socks on.
Yeah,
no, you're not wearing them.
You don't ever talk about this before.
You hate speak about it.
Pumps, right? You'd make you stick pumps on and walk around the school.
Yeah, and try and tell all the teachers to laugh at it as well.
And be like, oh, look at him, blah, blah, blah. And then one of the teachers, she turned around to me one time and goes, oh, you're only a scumbag from Ballybark anyways. That's what she said to me in the classroom.
Stop.
So I know exactly what it's like growing up in them schools and being around them situations. And then when I left the school and obviously went to Man City, I obviously went to Ross Mini and then I went to Man City. They rang me and asked me for the jersey to stick up in the school.
Yeah.
And I says,
didn't you play for Ross Mini against the school?
Yeah. Play for Ross Mini against
the school. Again. I remember that,
I was gassed. It was a good day. That was Paul Gannon smashing me, you know.
Yeah.
But remember, we played against the Lark in that time. And so they wanted to suspend me or something. And they had a game then that day. And we were all messing on the bus or whatever. And straight away, Jack, off the bus. What's going on here? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So come off the bus. Now, you're not playing today. And I said, boy, you got trouble in class, so you're not playing. So all the lads jumped off the bus and said, well, if he's not playing, we're not playing.
Yeah.
So they'll end up letting me get back on the bus and they'll say, we'll all go, we'll play, we'll sort it out after. So end up going. I scored an overhead kick then against the Lark, and I think Bourke and all them were playing. That was good. They beat them 2-1.
There was a lot of politics in that blading skill in terms of football. Wasn't that like, it's mad, man? I remember me and Daly got suspended in 6th year, and we got suspended for 3 days, and that was grand. You got handed your suspension letter by the principal, and as we were going to leave, the vice principal, who was the manager of the football team, we won't say any names, pulled us in. He's like, so you got suspended for 3 days. He said, not allowed back in till Thursday, but you know what's on Wednesday? The Dublin final, so you can go back in by that day. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So,
you know what I mean? Like,
well, you're getting made out to be the biggest scumbag in the school by one fella, and the next fella's like, yeah, don't worry about that. You can come back in a day early. What?
But you know what?
It
was a mad skill.
It's mad.
It's a mad skill.
But see, that rule, like, you're not allowed to wear white socks, and I was like, yeah, no problem. Send me home and I change my socks then.
We weren't acting
the mega hard. Well, why I brought it up, Jack, did you know in your head, like, fuck this, I'm bouncing anyway?
We did half of the time, but like some of the times, sometimes you just want a little bit of help from them as well. Yeah. You just want them to speak to you. And you know, you're a young kid. I was probably angry with the world as well at that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need blah, blah, blah. Because obviously what happened before. So it takes a teacher to just kind of speak to you in a certain way and not egg it on. Like if a teacher comes around to you when you're saying something, or you're having a mess in classes, oh, you're only a scumbag from Ballywark anyways.
Yeah,
it's not what are you going to think? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you just turn around and you put an arm around the shoulder and you say, look, listen,
stop backing the ball.
What's wrong? Come on, you need to help me out. If you keep carrying on like this, then you will start, you'll feel a little bit guilty and you'll say, oh, do you know what? I won't actually just chill out with doing my work. Do you know what I mean? But like, I went to Ross Mini then and it was grand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I went in when I wasn't on trials, done my junior shirt. Can't remember what I got now, but I done it.
Yeah.
And then it was away all the time. It was on trials. They embraced it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? That they enjoyed having someone who was
going to do well
and going to... I felt as if when it was in Joey's and that principal and stuff, they kind of didn't... Do you know what I mean? But I still get that now. Even coppers, like, driving around the area, have a yellow reg on the car, pulling me over when I was a kid, like, you know what I mean? When I just got back from City and say, trying to take the card off me and saying, well, hang on a minute, it's my car, like, there's my documents.
Yeah.
So, well, how can you afford this car? Driving around this area, how can you afford this car? And we can't afford this car, and I'm 10 years older than you. Same, that's none of your business, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, look,
it's been a while since we had these conversations,
Jack, because we used to touch on this, especially early on in the podcast, but we have it all the time. I remember dealing, I don't like getting into details of it about this because it does expose yourself a lot, but I've dealt with the police many a time, and then like, how have you got this? How have you got that? And me, I don't want to be a wanker about it, but because they're being a wanker to me, I said it to them, I make more money than you, and you're trying to talk down to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I won't judge someone about how much money they make in their life. If you walk, I respect that, fair play to you, have a job, grand. But don't use your job to abuse me. If you're using your job to abuse me, I'm going to make you feel like a prick. I make more money than you.
He attracts you and they go, well, how are you making that much money? Well, 100%. Just because I talk like this and I wear this doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's why they're questioning you. It's all right, the blade's hard to give a little bit back there.
Yeah, of course. If you're going to be a wanker, I'll be a wanker. And it's nice. Well, it's not really nice to know, but it's... That bit, like, we're relating to you. Like, you're out there, do you know what I mean? You're representing Ireland. There's cunts there bleeding, hassling you about it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not my fault you can't bleed and not make someone.
Even say until I have to say something then. Because
I think I'm
getting a bit further here. And then you say, look, listen, I'm out here, blah, blah, blah. Like, this, Jack, play football, do you know what I mean? And as soon as you say it, talk just changes.
Yeah.
And you're saying, if I had said that 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't have been in a little bit of that bother.
But you shouldn't have to say it.
You don't want to say that because I feel as if whenever I throw something like that out that car, I feel looking at myself, you're a wanker. You know what I mean? Like about myself, like saying, what the fuck, like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm anyone, do you know what I mean? Mm. But sometimes you do have to say that to get yourself out of certain situations. That's not even your situation to be in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it is what it is, isn't it?
But that's what I mean. Do you know what I mean? A couple of there in your face about like, how have you got this? How have you got that? Like, hold on for a minute, mate. Just because you have the right to detain me doesn't mean you have to abuse me. I'll let you know. Like, you know? Well, that was that out of the way. And anyway, so you signed for City. Yeah. What age are you moving over to Manchester?
Yeah, I moved over to Manchester. I moved over there at 14. So just after the junior started, I moved
that's
over.
Young.
Very young. And that's tough, like, you know what I mean? But I loved it, you know? Like, the first couple of weeks, I remember getting there. Just no homesickness.
Just in a bubble,
no nothing, no homesickness, no anything. You're just there, you're playing football every day, you're waking up, can't wait to go into training and train with some of the best players in the world. We signed the lad from Real Madrid for $5.5 million at like my age, and it was unbelievable. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're just loving it. You're going in training, you're thinking, this is great, this is what I always wanted, you know what I mean? But then it hits you, do you know what I mean? And when it hits you, you fucking know about it. Like, yeah. You see all your mates and you think they're not big things now. You're looking back saying, can't believe I was even worried about my mate's 18th.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or junior, no. But you do when you're a kid, because at the end of the day, you're a kid. You're still only a kid. You're seeing all your friends going out. You're seeing all your friends do things. And you want to do that. Do you know what I mean? As you get older, you pick and choose what you want to do. Yeah, don't you? Like, you know. Mm. But when you're a kid, you don't do that. So you do kind of lose a little bit of what you have in front of you. And you're kind of looking at what other people are doing and saying, oh, I wish it was gone there. But you have to embrace that opportunity then. After a while, it comes back and you say, right, yeah, I am stupid. I don't really want to go home to go out on junior. I'm playing Man United under 18s tomorrow. I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
But you still get that homesickness. You still miss your family. You still miss your friends. You still miss, you know, doing normal stuff, because at the end of the day, you're not a normal kid anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? You're not. And you know, social media and all that kind of stuff started coming into it around that time as well, which was good because you communicate with people and all that a lot better. But at the same time then, people are writing every single thing you do on the internet, you know what I mean? And in papers, and
you have to be
like, I've been in the newspaper nearly every second week since I was 14 years of age, like, you know what I mean? People are always interested in what we wanted to do because of obviously the talent that I had as a young kid. So, you know, you have to deal with all that as being young, and it's not like that for a lot of the kids, you know what I mean? Like Troy would have that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I look at Troy and he has that push and he has, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But if he doesn't play for Tottenham or he doesn't break Robbie Keane's goal scoring record, people are going to look at him as if he's a failure.
Yeah.
If he's played for Ireland 10 times and he's not even 20,
yeah,
he's a fucking success.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not like that for all the kids. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that for it's only a certain couple that you might get, the Robbie Brady's, it was myself, Troy, do you know what I mean? You kind of see the media hype about a lot of them, and a lot of the others, maybe don't, do you know what I mean?
It's the same thing, I only seen the yoke with Robbie Brady the other day, because it was 10 years since he moved to United, same thing happened with Conor Clifford.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when he moved to Chelsea, Robbie moved to United the same year.
Yeah.
And it went to show like the way their careers went, like the pressure the two of them were on. I remember when Conor Clifford moved.
Yeah, yeah.
My mate was in his class in Larkin, and he said it's unbelievable, like, the way he was treated in Larkin. Like, they wrapped him in cotton wool.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, imagine the pressure he was under.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and I feel for Conor because he's a good fella. Like, you know, he's a proper sound bloke. And like, I've been through it a little bit, where I've been in a little bit of a dark place, but we managed to get myself, you know, going again. Like, you know, and obviously getting the World Cups and coming home and kind of doing that, which, to be fair, I'm proud of, because it is tough, man, when you're on the floor to get back up and go again, like, you know what I mean? Because I was on the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're thinking I've failed everyone, but you're not looking at what you've actually achieved. And it was only when I came home that I kind of looked and I said, what have I done? What have I actually done? Do you know what I mean? I played in the Eredivisie, scored against PSV, I've done really well for the year. Went to Blackburn, might not have worked out. Went to Wigan, might not have worked out. Circumstances out of my control. Went to Oldham, done really well. And then went to Kilmarnock, didn't work out, wanted to come home. Is that my fault? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, when you look back and say, well, I've actually achieved a lot here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've done well to get this far. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you look at the likes of Wes Houlihan, he went away at 27, 28, had an unbelievable career towards the back end of his career. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if the start of my career was actually really good, do you know what I mean? And then maybe a little bit of a falter in the middle for a year and a half, but that doesn't define you. Do you know what I mean?
It's how you're only fucking 25,
So I do feel though for like Conor, because we know the pressure that comes with it. Like, you know what I mean? It is. It's tough, like, you know what I mean? He was captain of Chelsea's 18s and they had some serious players.
Yeah, serious.
He was a man, like, you know what I mean? So, if anyone asks me, I'd say he's done unbelievable in his career. Like, the captain of Chelsea's 18s and do that well for that period of time and earn a few bob or whatever, like, fair play to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it doesn't kick on, no problem. Do you know what I mean?
He's still playing ball now, isn't he? Still doing what he loves.
Still do what you love. Still hopefully enjoy it and be around good people, be around family. There's nothing wrong with that, really. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to play for Chelsea.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to play for Man United. You don't have to win Champions Leagues. It's only, you know, certain people that think you have to do it for success.
How many people actually win a Champions League? Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Being happy, you know, being enjoying what you're doing and having a good frame of mind, waking up in the morning and thinking, it's not a slog today, I'm enjoying this. That's success. Definitely. You know what I mean? And that doesn't matter if you're a footballer or just going into work. Do you know what I mean? That's success.
Once you're fucking happy doing it.
Yeah, 100%. Once you're happy. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Money comes and goes. You spend it. You fucking do whatever. You know what I mean? It's not about that. It's about what makes you happy, what makes you tick, what you want to do, and what gets you up in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
100%.
That's it. We're all always words, what?
Yeah. 100%.
Obviously, you went over to City Young, yeah? Talk to us about then growing up playing for City. Under 18s, what age did you play for them under?
I played up until the 23s.
Talk to us about some of the players you would have played.
Ah, man, it's crazy, like, you know what I mean?
Who was in the academy with you in that team?
In the academy, Olivia Encham, was that Celtic? Mifele's at Swansea now, Kian Bryan, Sheffield United, West Brom now, Brandon Bargar, Rangers. Thierry Ambrose, he's playing in France. Seko Fofana, Udinese, Jason Denayer is playing for Lyon. You're talking Angus Gunn, goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Ian Lawler. Angelino, the left back. We had a serious team. You know I mean, you're talking about some of we were probably the best. Us and Chelsea were the best 25, 18. To 23-year-olds, or say 16 to 23-year-olds, in the world.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about in the country, because if you're the best in the world, they're
getting picked for that team.
Man City are just going out and saying, "Yeah, we'll take them."
Yeah.
So, we played against Leroy Sané in the U Champions League, and I scored in the game, and he scored in the game. 1-1. All the boys were at the game.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, "Fucking hell, we done well there." Buzzing. Next week, Leroy Sané scores in the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. Schalke, I think, got beat 5-2. Man City signed for 50 million to come in that summer after them two games.
Madness.
Just what chance did you got? Do you know what I mean?
It's madness.
But at the same time, if you're at a Sunderland or you're at a lower team, you know, people always say, why didn't you sign for a lower team? You might have went in and played for their first team. Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, I get that. Do you know what I mean? But you're not going to improve technically and tactically the way you would at one of them big clubs. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just the players that you're playing with, the coaching, Vieira was my coach. Do you know what I mean? You don't get that at them other clubs. You might have good coaches. Don't get me wrong, there's good coaches and there's good people. But your squad, our squad, when we lost in the U Cup, the head fellow of Man City came into us and said, you lost to 9 bin men and 2 good players. Patrick Roberts and Moussa Dembele were playing for Fulham at the time, and obviously gone on to do really well.
Yeah.
Man City obviously bought Patrick Roberts then again. Yeah. But he said, you lost 9 bin men and 2 good players. He said, our whole budget for the under-18s is more than their first team budget. Do you know what I mean? And they were in the Championship of the Premier League at the time. So
it's madness. What was Vieira like?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Quality, man. You just respected him. You listened to him. If he told you something, he changed my game. Do you know what I mean?
He's played same position.
He changed my game completely. And you just had a different level of respect for him when he was talking and the people. He used to bring people into physios and all. You know what I mean? That he used to work with him. And Arsene Wenger used to get them in. There's physios and all worked with the royal family in London and that. They were I think they were 1,500 quid a person, and they were saying us as 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
I have a scar on my nose from playing 5-a-sides down I was playing for a refugee kind of tournament, and we got loafed, and this fella used to say my breathing was all off. He used to be rubbing the scar off my nose, mad stuff. Do you know what I mean? That you just, then you're thinking, right, well, if he's putting this much effort into us, do you know what I mean? You have to give it back to him. You have to try and think. Yeah. But tactically, he used to go over and work with Guardiola in the off-season. So he used to work the international breaks. He wouldn't be in with us. He'd be off in Bayern Munich. And they offered him the number two job in Bayern Munich, I think, at one stage. And so we used to go over to Pep all the time. So when he'd come back then, he'd be doing Pep sessions with us. So we love that, you know. And we'd be thinking, this is amazing, isn't it? Like, you know. So that obviously improved our game so much. So positional play, and it suited me because I'm not the most athletic, do you know what I mean? So holding me position, waiting on the ball, moving the ball, let the ball move instead of the players move, basically.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And it improved my game massively.
Did you ever train with the first team?
A loads of times.
Yeah. And we'll talk to us about some of that.
I trained under Pip.
Under Pip, yeah.
Who would have been the best player in training?
Oh man, do you know he was a joke?
I know, I have a feeling who I'm going to say, but say, I think David Silva, no?
I was going to say Silva as well.
Joke. Different level?
Yeah, different level, but Nazu.
Do you know what? Like, do you ever see the Tubes does?
Never seen a player.
Some of the older ones, the players, when they talk about players in training.
Who's the best in training, yeah.
A lot of them say Nazu.
Did they, yeah?
A lot of them, yeah.
I'm telling you, Zlat.
Exactly.
Could not get the ball off. He was a joke. He wouldn't tie his laces. He'd be going around baggy jocks on.
Yeah. Just acting the bollocks.
Like, scarf up there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And this fella, ridiculous level. Like, and that's levels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're thinking, like, you're going in, you think, oh, I'm good. And then you're going training with him and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'm rude.
Nazi at his best was
one
of the best in the league.
One of the best in the world, honestly. Yeah. One of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And he just had this big farce. Sink in, you can't get the ball off him, you know. He's a madman as well, he goes.
Comes across as a head case.
Yeah, he's a madman.
Yeah.
Probably not funny for his podcast.
We'll say nothing. We'll get to the canteen after this.
Yeah.
But come out, what age did you be like, right, I'm at a bit of a crossroads here, and eventually you end up going to Holland to Cambo?
Yeah, so another thing I say when people say, like, go to like a lower team or whatever. You don't get the opportunity to play in the EU Champions League. You don't get the opportunity to play in them, travel with the first team, see how that's all.
And how are they treated? Are they treated as such a serious thing, the EU Champions League and all? Like,
it's massive, man.
Yeah,
massive.
Huge deal.
Huge deal. Like, talking about, like, you travel with the first team, all the media that go to the first team game go to the.
They're getting news as well.
Yeah. It's in the same group, isn't it? It's drawn.
Yeah, same group. So yeah, whatever the first
team. You play the same group, yeah.
Whatever the first team gets drawn, you play and you travel with them on the plane. Everything is done the same way. You don't stay in the same hotel, stay in a different hotel because you leave them.
They're their own game. Yeah.
Which is fair enough. Like. But amazing, honestly. So when people say to you, like, why would you go to a smaller team? Then you don't get the opportunity to play against the likes of, you know, the Ajaxes and all them teams in the EU Champions League. We played against Bayern Munich, Roma, all them teams. You know what I mean? For
big European,
for a couple of years. Like, so it's great. And the opportunity, as you say, to go to Holland wouldn't have came about if I wasn't playing in that tournament.
Yeah.
Because that's where they were watching. We had a lad on loan at that team before. That we went to Cambuur. We had a lad on loan there the season before, and they were looking for someone else to go in for the, because he was going to go. He was signing for another Dutch team over there the season after. So they wanted someone else in. And they were watching the EU Champions League games, obviously us, Chelsea, and they were saying, Roy, who can we pick? And obviously, I had scored 7 goals in 6 games. It was on fire, like, you know what I mean? So it was they were watching them games, it was a no-brainer for them to be like, right. And Patrick was brilliant with that. Like, Patrick pulled me at the end of the season and he said, what's going on, like, you know? And I said, not much. And he said, look, I know Bolton are interested in you. Bolton, I think, were interested. I said, yeah. I said, look, I haven't really heard that. And he said, you can't go there. And I was like, why? And he's like, because you're not going to play.
With Neil Lennon being down there.
Yeah, Neil Lennon was there at the time.
Yeah.
He said, you're not going to play. It's not going to suit you. I said, all right. He said, but you can't stay here. And I was like, why? And he was like, you're too good for me. Reserves. Like, you need to go and play first name football. He said, there's a team in Holland that want to take you. He said, it'd be perfect for you. So I was like, all right, sound. I said, went home. He said, look, how long have you got left in your contract? I said, I've got 2 years left. He said, okay. He said, well, they won't let you go on loan with 2 years left in your contract. He said, so I'm going to get them to offer you a new deal. He was like, I'll get them, we'll get a new deal sorted. So I was like thinking, all right, sound like no
brand
problem.
One,
like, you know, so I went home and then got a phone. It was actually in Malia, I was with the lads.
Yeah.
Like the 24th of like May or something. And it was like, oh yeah, offer you a new contract, fly back over and go to Holland. They want to take you. The manager rang me. I was in Mali, like the lads, yeah. My Dutch manager. I can't really hear you. The signal is bad. Like, sorry. Only 18 or something, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, gas. And so just flew back then, signed a new deal with City and went on loan to Holland, signed a new 3-year with City. They were great like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just give you a new deal and paying yeah, Torre, 200 grand to sit in the stands a week, you know what I mean? They didn't care, like, so it was like, we look after you, like, you go out there and do
did
well.
You're playing with Yaya, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you wish him a happy birthday, did you?
He, one of the training sessions we had on, was like running, like, but he'd be like, at this count, you'd have to run the length of the pitch. At this count, you'd only have to run to that count.
Yeah.
The fellow, I swear to God, he would not move off this count.
Yeah.
He'd just keep going from that count to that count. And he'd swarm himself about four young lads. And he'd say, well, you go up to that count now. And you just like jog past them. Yeah, no, but I will do it. And you'd be sprinting the length of the pitch for them for the whole day. Oh, man. But like, you do it, don't you?
Yeah.
Same thing. Imagine Kolarov used to call us over after training to jump on a wall for free kicks.
Yeah.
Boot balls at our heads.
You'd
be buzzing. Yeah. Yeah. The first time today. To get involved,
Oh,
then I went Holland, man. Holland was class.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got some exposure over there, didn't you?
I done well, like, you know.
Always loved you.
Like, I done well, like, I done really well. Like, scored against PSV, got in team of the week against Ajax, got in the team of the week against Feyenoord. So all the big games I was playing really well, like. So
yeah.
I was half ripping it up, like, you know what I mean? And suited me down to the ground, the style of football and the club was that suited me down to the ground. It was just one of those things that was kind of perfect. But when I first went over there, I rolled my ankle in training and I missed a couple of weeks and I was getting homesick because at the start, you're in Manchester, I had all my mates in Manchester.
Yeah.
In the house and all there, you know what I mean? So when you go over there, then it's completely different.
You're starting fresh.
The lads are speaking, some of them are speaking French, some of them are speaking, you know, a little bit of English, and most of them are speaking Dutch, like, you know what I mean? So you're kind of, you get dropped there and then it's like, fucking hell, I'm here now, like, you know what I mean? This is different, like, this is really different. Because not as if you have your 6-7 mates from the reserves that are from Manchester that you buzz off and you have them. Proper good mates since you're 14, you know what I mean? And you all have a few bob and you're all going out there.
Yeah, you know whatever you want.
You're going into a man's dressing room then and all these boys have kids and all, you know what I mean? So they're finished training at 12 and you're saying,
bouncing,
what do you want to do? Do you want to go over to Nando's or do you want to go over? And they're saying, I'm going to collect the kids from school and you're sitting there like, what do I do? I'm in Holland, like.
Yeah.
This is just after about a month or 2 months, I just found out that Holland was lethal anyway, so I didn't mind.
Doing a bit of window shopping.
Just going down to Amsterdam. I remember looking at the fixtures and all, and you're thinking, playing Ajax on a Friday night. Thinking, lovely, you get the weekend in Amsterdam.
Say nothing,
off till Monday, and you don't play till the next Saturday or Sunday, like, you know, because only one game a week over there, whereas England, Saturday, Chelsea, Saturday. So, man, like, once you got the grips of it over there and you got used to it.
You start out, like,
yeah. But it was quality, you know. The games are unbelievable. Everyone passed the ball, like, everyone popped the ball. It was like, there was no long balls. We drew with a team and we had 35% possession. We had to shut up shot because we were bottom of the league nearly at that stage. And we got built off the pitch and we got a nil-all draw, like, you know what I mean? And we played one of the top teams, I think it was Utrecht at the time. Mm. And then we went out the week after and we battered someone. It might have been, I can't remember who it was at home, we battered them, we got beat 1-0 in the last minute and we got clapped off the pitch.
Yeah.
They just want to see
football.
The style of play.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
Don't they?
They cared about, like, the results, but it wasn't, if you won playing the wrong way, you got the same treatment as
that's mad.
You got beat, like, you know.
Don't they
mean?
Do a thing, the academy over there, everyone has to play in all the positions on the pitch. So
yeah,
they have
to
tie them out, like,
that.
Oh, you're a left back, right, you're going on goal today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They tie them out.
It's just a different, like, that opened my eyes up then as well, different way of thinking. And maybe when I went back to England, when I went to the championship, I probably shouldn't have went back at that stage because I was still kind of in that mode, you know what I mean? Get the ball down, play. And then you're going in and, you know, playing 4-4-2.
So you went back to Blackburn.
Yeah, Blackburn. To be fair, Blackburn was good. It was on the phone, Alan Coyle, and he said to us, like, he was like, oh, you're going to come in. It's only 40 minutes up the road from Manchester. Was saying, lovely, back down to my house, back down to my mates. You know, I was at the being away for the year.
What age were you when you bought a gaff in Manchester?
What was it, 8 then?
That's mad, isn't
8 then, yeah, about 8 then.
It's late.
Yeah, it was good. So, I was thinking, lovely, like, you know what I mean? I was thinking, I'm back down there now with my mates and not too far away from Blackburn. It's only 40 minutes, you know what I mean? He was saying to me, oh, look, Pep will be coming up watching the games on a Tuesday night and giving it the whole spiel. Mm-hmm. He'd worked with Daniel Sturridge and Jack Wilshere and all before, you know what I mean? So I was thinking, he was like, I want you to be my next Jack Wilshere, like, you know, that kind of project. So I was thinking, this would be good, like.
Are you on loan here?
It was on loan, yeah. So 2 years left of my deal then, I see. So I was thinking, and I had a few clubs coming in, like, showing interest, like, you know what I mean? Like, I had my teams coming in, like, FC Metz, top division in France, Tel Aviv and Israel. Like, these were all in Champions League and all at Tel Aviv at that stage, I think. So,
why did you choose Blackburn?
Just because of what he was saying, and I thought if there was no point in me going somewhere and signing somewhere permanently, because I thought what I wanted to do was do another loan. I probably should stay in Holland, do you know what I mean? Because I knew the league, I was doing really well.
Style of
good
play.
Teams over there that wanted me, better teams than there was at before, like, you know what I mean? But I wanted to try and prove to myself that I could play in Premier League, and if I'd done well in the Championship, then I played 40-50 games for Blackburn in the Championship, and it was in Manchester, and, you know, maybe I'd done really well that year, it might have pushed me towards Man City's first team, or else somebody in the Premier League or a lower team in the Premier League might have said, we will take him now because he's at the proving what he could do in the Championship. So that was me thinking kind of behind going there. But then, as I said, he said, you're going to play in the 10, we're going to pass the ball, we're going to get it through the lines, want you to be me link. And then we lost the first 4 games of the season, playing against Norwich. Obviously, they were brilliant that time. Yeah. Bobby Brady, Naismith, Wezzo, you know what I mean? They were proper solid. We got beat by them 4-1. And
that's the year they went up.
That's the year they went up.
They go fucking every 2 years, don't they?
Yeah. They had over 100 points or something in the year.
So whatever year they were in the Championship, they went up, didn't they? Yeah. So they were just up and down. So
yo club.
Yeah, but so obviously went there and then just changed 4-4-2, and we was playing in the middle of the park, me and Darragh Lenihan, and it was like I had a centre half playing beside me in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8" or something, do you know what I mean? Playing the Championship and he wants me to get up and down and box the box and have to be the one to get on the ball then, because I'm technically, and it was like, that's not the way I play. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not that kind of player, and we are going long then, 2 strikers up front, and it was like, get around the seconds, and it was if you had told me that from the start, first of all, I would never have went there, but second of all, Man City would never have sent me there.
Yeah.
They would have said, no way you going there to play in a 4-4-2. You're going to Brentford in League 1. He'll play 4-3-3 and you're going to pop it. It didn't matter where it was playing, League One, Championship, Holland. Once you're playing and you're playing in a way, a style of playing, that's where you're going to get the best of yourself, you know. But obviously that didn't go with the plan. But
so a lot of the promises that just...
Yeah, but not...
But it's the pressure, isn't it? Like, if he loses them first few games, he needs to get
like
points
if he
on
was
the board.
Flying and we were winning games and we were playing and we could play.
Yeah.
Like, if we had the players maybe to play with a proper coach in there, might have done better, but I understand where he's coming from as well.
How many games did you end up playing for them then?
I only played about 12 games or something, 11 games or something like that, like, you know what I mean? So, and then I was out of the team for ages, and I was like, it was a slog then, you know what I mean?
What was the Championship games like?
Tough. Yeah, they are tough, like, you know.
A lot of players say that Championship could be playing tougher than the Premier League.
Yeah, it is, like, it's probably it, less football played, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's games Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, like, and it is demanding, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And there's players in the Championship earning 100 grand a week, like, you know what I mean? There is. Yeah, like John Joe Shelby when he was at Newcastle, 100 grand.
Mitrovic
is on that Fulham, like, you know. So, like, they're now mugs, do you know what I mean? Oh. It's tough league, like, and but I don't really know what it was like, do you know, playing it, because at the end of the day, I didn't play enough games to get a rhythm going and to find my feet in it and say, because I was only 19 at the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it wasn't as if it was a season pro and I was going in and knew what it was like. I needed to find out what it was like to then find my feet.
Is that why you avoided Bolton in the first place then before you went to Campbell?
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have let me go there, They knew probably physically I wasn't ready to go into England. They said, this is going to be perfect for you because they play and this is going to suit you the way they play. And there was a plan behind it. But the Blackburn was kind of my own decision, really, because I was at that down so well then in Holland. I was saying, right, well, I'm after doing that now, so let's try something else. So I have no problem trying other things, do you know what I mean? And trying to better myself, really. But it just didn't work out, you know what I mean? It didn't work out. And then I was going back. I cancelled the loan in January because Wigan wanted to take me on a permanent. Warden Joyce was there. He knew me game. He knew me game really well, to be fair, because we used to play against his reserve teams. He was the United reserve team manager. So when he rang, I thought, this is brilliant, do you know what I mean? Get this deal done, like, you know what I mean? Because he's a manager who knows me and would know from playing against me how to get the best out of me. And he was very close with the head fella at Man City, Brian Marwood. So I went there and then he got an eye infection. It was mad. I swear to God, he got an eye infection. He was going around with an eye patch on the training ground. He was like Captain Hook, he was going around the place. And he got sacked in March, the 4th of March or the 2nd of March. He got sacked.
And when did you go there, in January?
We went there the last day of the window. It was the last signing done. It was like we were sorting.
Was that a loan or permanent?
No, it was permanent.
Permanent,
I signed a 3.5 year deal.
Because
obviously I had the house in Manchester. So it was like, we're 3.5 years there, lovely. I'm around Manchester now for 3.5 years at Wigan. They were around where Blackburn were on the table. And I was thinking, well, if they go down, I'm going to be playing top League One, trying to get promoted. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was thinking, this is good. And he gets sacked then in March. So I'm only there
three and a half weeks
or something, like, you know what I mean? 4 weeks. And he's gone. And I'm only getting up to speed then because I hadn't played before that. And I was back at City. And to be fair, for that month of January, I was trying with the fourth time at City. So that was good. It was a good experience under Pep. But that was it then. He was gone. I had 3.5 years on my deal, just signed.
And you could easily be out of favour now.
And now manager comes in and he says, right, he was the assistant manager before under the old manager. He comes in and says, right, I want to go back to the lads that were playing under the old manager. And I'm sitting on the bench again thinking, how do we get into this team?
The ups and downs of football.
So then I finally get into the team, play 2 games, season's over. Get a new manager in the summer. He's gone. So a new manager comes in, fresh slate, and it's like, well, he's his own ideas now. What way he wants to go? We've got 3 years left on my deal. And I'm thinking, like, what do we do? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to play. Like, he's trying to get me go down to London on loan to a few clubs down there, Charlton or something. Within. I didn't want to do that because I was living in Manchester, at my house there. I was going to be on the same money. It wasn't going to be more money. And you're going down to London, which is like, you need double the money that you're on down in Manchester because it's you know how expensive it is to live there. So I went to Oldham then on loan and then obviously in January I ended up signing for Oldham. Done really well that year. A couple of clubs wanted me. Peterborough, Hearts, like good clubs, you know what I mean? But it was in Manchester, I was happy. I was at Oldham. They were at getting taken over at the stage so they could afford me wages. So I went there and they got relegated, obviously. So I was in League 2.
Andy won as well.
I was in League 2 on the same money I was on the Championship.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? People say, oh, you're a bad egg. You got kicked out of this club. Yeah. You got kicked out of that club and that club didn't want you. But when you're the highest earner at the club,
you need to count the losses.
You know what I mean?
And then
the owner calls you in and says, want you to take a cut. And you say, well, hang on a minute. I'm only at the sign that 2.5 year deal in January when you signed me from Wigan. Why would I take a cut when I'm after coming to you and I don't have a clause in my contract to take a cut if we get relegated? And you never asked me to do that. If you had asked me to do that at the time, then it's a different conversation.
Talk about,
do you know what I mean? You can say, all right, well, he wants me to take a cut, or you can understand that. Then you have a decision to make and you might say, well, they are around near enough the bottom. I'll just go to Peterborough. That's a safe, I bet. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you finish at 35 or so, you need to look at yourself financially. Do you know what I mean?
It's a job at the end of the day.
So
forget that.
There's no way I was going to go there's no way I was going to sign for Oldham when they were around the bottom and think, if we get relegated, I'm getting slashed half my wages. When I was when I was on the same money at Wigan and I still had 2 years left and I could have just sat there and gone on loan again somewhere else or signed permanently for a Peterborough who are at the top pushing to go up. Do you know what I mean? So, that's the side people don't see and they think, oh, five clubs in 3 years and how did that happen? And they see like Applewell, Cyprus, why they leave there? Same thing. If I had a clause in my contract saying if they didn't get in Europe and they had financial issues, would I take a cut? Yeah, all right, we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
But he can go over there with that in my contract. So why would I take a cut?
Exactly, yeah.
You're not going to do it, like, you know what I mean? Your contract's your strength at the end of the day. So it is what it is. It's a job. It's your job. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. You went from Oldham then to Scotland, didn't you?
I went from Oldham to Kilmarnock, yeah.
So how'd that conversation come about? It's just because of the wage thing?
Yeah, so then basically Oldham tried to sack me because I wasn't leaving. So I met him in... So he was messing about then with the wages. So you get paid with a month over there and he was leaving it like two weeks late and then paying us and then 2 weeks late and then paying us. Do you know what I mean? So I was thinking, what's going on here? Like this doesn't sound great. So I met him in Dubai. The last day of the season, he called me and he said, Jack, I'm going to pay the lads, but I can't pay you. So I said, all right. I said, no problem. He said, look, if you win tomorrow, I'll pay for your... Because I was going to Dubai then, like a couple of days later, and he's based in Dubai, the owner of Oldham. He said, look, if you win, I'll pay for your holiday.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so keep us up. Next year, we'll have a good go. I'm going to throw loads of money at getting new players in. I said, all right, so no problem. Like, lost. Lost. Relegated.
Was that love story going
in? No, do you know what I mean? But in a way, I was kind of thinking, like, what way is that club going? It's probably going to have to leave anyway because he was messing. Do you know what I mean? He was proper messing. The way the club's gone now, protests and all, like, you know what I mean? It soon comes around, you know what I mean? Like, people will see the picture at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go out there shouting and screaming what happened because 2-3 years down the line, like, they're second bottom in League Two now, not paying their players and can't pay their staff. Like,
I don't need to explain that, but
a couple of years ago, people said he got thrown out of there. So, anyways, he got back from Dubai, he met me over there. So, he gave us a few bob and all. Like, when I was over there, I was listen, just stick money, pay me wages, you know what I mean? And then he's ringing like Peterborough, he's on the phone to me saying, I want 450,000. And then he's putting him on mute and saying to me, If you go to Peterborough, I will give you some of the money. So I'm like, what's going on here? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so anyways, get back from Dubai, what training, and he says to me, are you gonna go? And I'm like, no, I'm not going. He says, I don't wanna go down there, do you know what I mean? I don't wanna live down there. And he was like, okay. So he had a French lad in there, French lad got injured. He started saying that he did a bad tackle on him and broke his leg, which was no. And then obviously went through the car case with the PFA and all that. Got a 2-week suspension. After the 2 weeks, couldn't do anything. So I was back in. But he said, no, you're training with the kids now. But it was all because it was the highest earner at the club and he wanted me out, which I knew. And then, after that, said something about emoji I put on Twitter was like directed at him, calling him a clown or something, which was mental. So he tried to suspend me again. I was actually at a circus with my sister and our daughter. They were over for the weekend. They put something on Twitter like with the circuses and like stuff. And he said, that was directed at me. We're going to sack you from this.
Thing,
so he was like, what's going on? So another 2 weeks suspension. So it was like, so same thing again, PFA, car case, everyone sitting around the table and that, no, can't do anything. You're back in. So I'm like, so then he comes to me and says, give you payout. I was like, all right, sound, no problem. Pay us up. And he said, yeah, I will. But, you know, he paid us up after 6 o'clock. After 6 o'clock on the last day, I couldn't sign for anyone in England. I had to go to Scotland. Like.
Yeah.
So even if I wanted to go anywhere in England, I couldn't. I could only go to Scotland. So obviously had Hearts the season before, Kilmarnock. I only wanted to sign a 1-year deal. Steve Clark was up there, so went up there.
Steve Clark's a good manager.
Steve Clark's a brilliant manager. He was a gent. He was brilliant with me. Like, you know, he was unbelievable with me up there.
Some big clubs as well.
Yeah. Top coach. Brilliant coach. Class.
You and the Mourinho.
Yeah, sessions are unbelievable. Yeah. Kenny Dalglish as well. He was under Liverpool. So, went up there and enjoyed the training and all. Just didn't enjoy the place. Do you know what I mean? Couldn't get the grips with the place. And there was international breaks all the time. Do you know what I mean? So, I was going up there after not having a great pre-season, so I was trying to get myself going. I was getting in for 15 minutes, and then they were top of the league, like they were ahead of Celtic and Rangers that season up until Christmas.
Yeah.
Up until like January, the middle of January, they
would have been big for them.
Yeah, they were flying. Which obviously I didn't expect. I thought they would have been like mid-table and I was going to get a few games. Like, but you can't change a winning team. The team just kept winning.
Yeah.
Just motoring on. And he was obviously linked with the Celtic job and all that at that stage. So he was obviously flying. So we just made a decision. We said, like, I'm going to have to do something here. Like, it was low at that stage. You know what I mean? It was on the floor because I was thinking, was that doing well the season before? I had a load of options. Then obviously the messing around, getting out of all them, and you obviously have to look after yourself financially. You're not just going to rip your contract up and walk away just so you can get another club. Do you know what I mean? You have to look after yourself. So I, when that was all sorted, then I only had the option to go up to Kilmarnock, really, for a one-year deal. And, you know, it's hard to, when you're doing everything in your power to get into a team and, you know, you're working hard, you're staying up there, you're away from Manchester, you're away from, you know, all your mates back down in Manchester, whatever, and you're up there and it's completely different. You're doing everything. You're staying in a hotel. You haven't got a house yet sorted up there. And you're doing everything to get into the team, but the team just keep winning.
Yeah.
And you can't get into the team and you're playing 15 minutes, then, you know, the team, the team might be winning, you might play 15 minutes. The next week, same team, they lose. He's not really going to change it. You'd have to lose two on the bounce or, you know, a loss and a draw or something like that. And then he'd say, right, give you a go now. But it never happened because we won one, won another, maybe drew, then won again.
Yeah.
Then you're 2 weeks off international break. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, then you're doing nothing. Sometimes 5 weeks before you play the game.
Yeah.
So you're so far behind the other lads in terms of fitness and all match that.
Match sharpness.
Yeah, match sharpness. That you end up playing resi games and, you know what I mean?
It's not what you signed up for.
It's not what I wanted to do.
Kilmarnock end up finishing then?
They finished third that year. They got Europe in that. I think they finished third. Yeah, that was an amazing season for them. Like, you know what I mean? But we went into them and I just said to them one of the days, I said, look, I said, Gaffer, I respect you. I said, a lot. I said, you're a top coach. I said, I'm not going to come in here moaning, saying, why aren't you playing me? Why aren't you playing me? What do I need to do to get into the team? I said, I know what I need to do to get into the team. I said, but you need to lose a few games for me to get into the team. I said, I don't want to be sitting around here wishing that you was...
hoping for a loss.
Wishing that you was lost. I said, because the lads are all sound. Do you know what I mean? The boys were all legends. Like, I got on well with them. Scottish would be like Irish. Do you know what I mean?
Very similar.
Scottish and Jordan Jones and Dom Thomas and Gary Dicker, all these boys, all sound like, you know what I mean? So I didn't want them to lose.
Yeah.
I wanted them to win, but I wanted to play. Do you know what I mean? So I said to him, like, after one of the games, I was in the showers and we had that winning. I think we had that beating someone in the last minute. I think it might have been Celtic. We scored a header in the last minute and we beat them. And I was in the showers and I was thinking, like, I should be buzzing here, but I'm not. Do you know what I mean? I'm raging, half raging, thinking, like, oh, here we go again. Another 3 weeks before I get on the pitch. So I just went into him then a couple of days after. I said, look, Gabber, I said, I don't want to be around the lads and, you know, when they're buzzing and they have a good thing going here, that, and the boys like me, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we were all like good mates. And I didn't want to be that kind
dampener,
of
like,
dampener on it, and that kind of like a bad kind of
vibe
around the place. So because I was giving it everything and I just wasn't getting that little bit of luck that you kind of needed. And I said, look, I just went into him. I said, I'm going to go, like, you know. And he said, look, can you stay just until January? He said, because obviously I can't get anyone else in, and you know, obviously think you're a good top player. Like, he said, we'll ring clubs in England and I'll get you a club there in January if you want. He said, just stick around and obviously just, you know, until January, do your thing. And he said, I went back into him then, I think it was, I said, all right, I will. And then when I went home, sitting in the gaff, and I was like, I can't. Do you know what I mean? I was thinking, I can't do it. I was like, this was like November, middle of November. I was like, can't stick 6 weeks. I can't do it. Like, you know, I was on the floor. I was just mentally just gone, shot.
Finished, yeah.
Just drained, like. And I just went into him 2 or 3 days later. Johnny came over to me. Went out with Johnny one of the nights after. I just said, I'm going back to Manchester tomorrow. I said, go back to me gaff. I said, that's me done. I said, I'm finished. I said, I'll decide what I want to do after. And I just went in. And I said, I just went into him. And I said, look, I'm going. I said, pack the bag.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't pack the bag, you know, man. And he said, look, he said, go home for a week, think about it, and bring me in a week, and let me know what you want to do. He said, there's always a spot here if you want to come back. Went home, and a couple of days later, I called him. I said, look, that's my finish. He said, listen, I'm going to pay you until January. I'm going to get the club to pay you until January because you've been very good with us. So we want to look at you, or make sure they look at it. Yeah. He didn't have to do
no,
that.
No, that's, and it's nice to finish on that, isn't it?
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
especially you had to come from Oldham, where it was total opposite.
All that stuff. And that's why I didn't want to be like that with him, because he was sound with me, and he was a good bloke with me. And he obviously, his stature in the game was obviously so
where's
high.
Where's
he at
now?
Scotland manager.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't want to end on bad terms or anything like that. I just wanted it to be, this is my decision, like.
Yeah.
Then I just rang my agent and said, like, you know, that's what I want to come home. Like, I need to come home. Do you know what I mean? I need to just reset, because from the years before that, like, I think everything that I had put into it, and I just kind of needed a little mental reset where it was like, right, just come back, get back to normal, and just go again and just figure it out again. Do you know what I mean? Because up until that, it was just so up and down, roller coaster. Them 4 or 5 years, as much as they were brilliant, they were mad, you know what I mean?
And so much happening, yeah.
And it was mad in my life from the time I was 14, going away, do you know what I mean? I never really had a break. I never really had a, right, just take a step back out of it. I was never injured, like, always played, never missed a game even, never missed a training session. So it was every day, bang, 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 since I was 14. So maybe I did just need that little step back, have a look in and say, right, what do I want? What do I really want? And it was the best thing I could have ever done, you know?
Yeah, and no problem getting a club over there, I'd imagine.
Do you know what? It wasn't even like that. It was just, like, Bradshaw was unbelievable to me. Even, like, when I was playing for Ireland under 21s and that, when I got called up, trying with the force, then went back down when I was in Holland, he would go to the games, like, watch the games, talk to him after, say what I could do, what he thinks I could do better. And, like, I always had a relationship with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, even playing 5-a-sides when I was at City, we used to come home and play against my agent and Brad's and, like, a few of the Rovers lads. We play against them, like. And so we always had a relationship with him. So, but it wasn't even a conversation as if to be like, do you want to come in? It was like, it was just a decision I had to make. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I knew that option was going to be there, but I wouldn't have took me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have taken me in the position I was in. So for him to take me, show that faith in me, is the best thing anyone has ever done for me, really. Do you know what I mean? Because I was on the floor, like, I was overweight. And me being overweight is like, like, there's nothing on me. You know what I mean? But it was just out of shape. I wasn't a footballer, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just in a completely different mindset to what I had been in the 2, 3, 4 years previous to that. For them, 3, 4 months then, from, like, say, October to January, I was like a completely different person. And it was unrecognizable, you know what I mean? So, and that's mentally and physically, you know what I mean? When you're mentally gone, you're mentally shut, you don't care physically you're always looking for an excuse to blame somebody else, or, do you know what I mean? So I knew I needed to just strip it back, do you know what I mean? Just strip it all back and say, right, what am I? What do I want to do? What do I want to become? And once I made that decision then, it was like, I have to go with this. And then when I went in for the first couple of weeks, I was half embarrassed, do you know what I mean? I was half embarrassed to be back in the league. It's not like that this time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This time is completely different. I'm a man now, do you know what I mean? But when you're young and you're a kid, you're 20, 21, you're thinking, I'm a failure, do you know what I mean? I'm at the coming home, I'm at the failing everyone. What's everyone going to be thinking? You're going out playing for Rovers, you're thinking, I need to be like Messi.
Yeah.
When you don't, you just need to be Jack Bourne, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're not doing, scoring a hat-trick every game, you're saying, how am I not scoring a hat-trick every game against, you know, these players, when I think I should be playing in the Premier League, I think I might have the talent to play in the Premier League, I should be absolutely ripping it up every game. But then you realise that the standard of some of the boys here is as good as the teams that are playing for Kilmarnock, if not better, Oldham, you know what I mean? So you're talking about, like, do I think I could play for like Hearts or Kilmarnock now? Of course I could. Do you know what I mean? I could have played for all of them. My eyes closed. Yeah. 100%. Do you know what I mean? But could I play for Rovers with my slippers on and my eyes closed? No. Do you know what I mean? I need to be the best player that we can be to do that. Mm. So the level that I came back to was a better level than probably what I was at. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, hang on a minute. Like, why do I feel a little bit embarrassed? And you have players like Joey O'Brien and, you know what I mean, all around you, Alan Manis, all these players. Top players, like.
Yeah.
So once you get that out of your head where you're like, I haven't let anyone down. You know, I'm not, I shouldn't be embarrassed to be playing here. You know what I mean? This is me. I need to make the best of this. That's when you just knuckle down and you just take it. And
if I hadn't, you had a point to prove, didn't you, really?
I did, but to myself.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't care about people on keyboards and texting me and Dundalk fans. And, do you know what I mean? Like all this. And I don't care about them. Do you know what I mean? I like the stick. I do. I like it. You know what I mean? When they're giving you a bit of band, you just look at it. I'd be looking on Twitter like, when I'm at that signing for Rovers, I put up sign for the biggest club in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, you must have signed for the dog, did you? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like all this. Did you sign for both? You know what I mean? Question mark. Like, I'm looking at it laughing. Like, you know what I mean? It's a bit of crack. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm at the game last night between Bowers and Pats.
Yeah.
A few of my mates are playing for them. You know what I mean? Like, you want to see them do well. There's nothing more I want than for Pats to play in the Champions League or the Europa League or Dundalk or Bowles. Like, of course I want to see Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, all these players doing well, because what's that going to do? It's going to be better for Ireland.
Yeah,
it's going to be better for Irish football. We don't want it just to be the Jack Bourne show. Only I do well and no one else do well. I want Borky to get a cap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want Dan Mandrew to get a cap. I want me mates to get a cap. Aaron McAniff 100% deserved the cap when he was playing for Rovers. He was unbelievable. I want them to get a cap. I don't want it to be all about me. I want the league to do as well as it should, as it can do, like the Scandinavian leagues who are similar size to us, Cyprus. Do you know what I mean? Like, them teams playing Champions League quarterfinals. I want that here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want the players to do well, because what's going to do? It's going to boost our national team.
Yeah.
And you're a fan before you're a player. Do you know what I mean? Definitely. If you're not a player, you're going to the games, watching the games anyways.
How far do you think this league is away from getting into Europe?
Like, just investment. Just investment. Yeah. 100% just investment. If, like, I'm in Cyprus there, for instance, and I'm only at Apoel Nicosia, Limassol will fight AEL, will fight it out in Europe. Every one of them, or two of them, will be in Europe every single year.
Yeah.
If they're not in Europe, it's an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Now, players get paid 2 months late, 3 months late, don't get bonuses. Do you know what I mean?
Like, deliberately.
They make you know. Yeah. Listen, you get in Europe, everything is fine. If you're not in Europe, you'll know you're not in Europe. Do you know what I mean? So, it's investment. They will invest in the team to do that, to get them into Europe. And you'll have players coming from different parts of the world to play for these teams. And in Ireland, they can do that. Do you know what I mean? You only need one or two really good teams to push that. It's not as if every country has seven unbelievable teams and they're all competing, but they'll have one or two teams. Whereas if you're drawn against them in Europe, you're thinking, that's a tough draw. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're getting one of the teams from Estonia where you think fancy yourselves against any of them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get drawn against Ammonia from Cyprus, like, you may as well be playing Brentford in the Premier League. Like, you know what I mean? They are that. They are similar kind of levels. Like, you know what I mean? They are good teams. Mm. So it's investment. It's not even the stadiums and all that. Like, you know what I mean? I think if the teams invest in their squads and they get that where the players don't want to leave, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you still had Liam Scales here, like, of course going to go to Celtic. Of course he is. Do you know what I mean? Anyone is. But if you had an option for him to stay here for a couple of grand a week more than he was on, do you know what I mean? And say, we'll keep you for another year. You're on a contract for another year. We're going to get, you know, Jack back, Borky in the team. You got Dan Mandrew. You might go and sign one or two more. Like, if you have that option for the players, they might think twice about going to a Shrewsbury or the St. Mirren. Or, do you know what I mean? They might think twice about doing it. And if you have that European kind of thing where you can strive towards that, then would you want to leave Rovers if you knew that they're probably going to be in Europe, probably going to win a league, or they'll go to Peterborough?
Yeah.
Would you, what would you probably do? Like, you'd probably say, you know what, I'm going to think about that. It's a bit of a tougher decision.
Yeah.
But when it's a 70% chance that they won't and a 30% chance that they might, and the money's probably a little bit better, do you know what I mean? You're probably thinking, right, well, if I go to Peterborough and I do all right for a year or two, I can go to somewhere else. Whereas if you do well for Rovers in Europe or Dundalk in Europe and you rip it up and you're in Europe on a regular basis, then you're not worried about that extra grand a week, 2 grand a week. You're talking about 10 grand a week then. If someone wants to sign you, they're going to say, he's been playing the Europa League 2 years in a row and he's been the best player in the group stages. I'm going to give him 10 grand a week because I know he can play. It's not like I'll give him 4 grand a week and see what he's like because he's only playing in Ireland. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the investment. And if your players are getting paid a proper contract, if Rovers are paying somebody or Dundalk a good contract, I'm not talking grand a week, do you know what I mean? Mm. Which is still all right. Like, it's good money, you know what I mean? But if someone wants to take it in England, what do they offer you? 3 grand a week, 2 grand a week.
It's easy.
If you're getting paid 3-4 grand a week here and they have the investment and they're striving for that, but someone has to come in and offer you a lot more than that to tempt you away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely,
100%. So that's all it comes down to is investment. And the younger players now with Brexit, they can't really go away.
They can't bounce over early.
So if they stay and if you can breathe them into your force team, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's night and day fee-wise that the clubs will have to pay. Do you know what I mean? When we went to St. Kevin's, I don't even know what, when we went to Man City from St. Kevin's, I don't even know what St. Kevin's got for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't 400 grand, 500 grand that Man City had to pay Shamrock Rovers for Gavin Bazunu when he played in their force team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if you get a 16-year-old and he's playing your force team, there's 100% you're going to get a fee. And if not, he's definitely going to be better for it playing 16, 17, 18. By the time he comes to 18, if he's ready to play in your force team and he does well, if the team's in and around the European places, playing Europa League qualifiers, might qualify 1 year. If you have an 18-year-old playing in Europe and he's doing well, you're talking someone's going to sign him for the proper fee and give him a proper contract on the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where the change is then, the ball game. Do you know what I mean? Because kids might turn around and say, when they're 16, oh, I'm not going to go away for 800 quid a 2 year with yes and 800 quid a week pro contract or something. They'll say, do you know what? I'll wait here and I'll play. And if they sign me, then I'm going away on a proper contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it will, that's where it has to change. Like, you know, but it all just comes down to investment. Like Rovers, they and the teams here, they can't pay through the roof for the players because how can you when you only get
can't afford it,
2,000-3,000 into the stadium or do you know what I mean? And there's no TV money and all that. Do you know what I mean? How can you go out then? Unless you're that multi billionaire and you just want to burn a hole in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have to have a bit of a brain and do it a certain way, like, you know what I mean? So there needs to be a demand as well from the public to want to watch the games. And you know, we think that is coming into us. Like, there's 40,000 at that cup final yesterday.
Yeah,
people are mad for live football now at the moment. So, I think it will slowly start changing, like, you know. And I think there's better people in better positions in the FAI, especially now. You know, I see the likes of Stephen, who managed in the league. And, you know, we obviously know the league's very important because half of the Ireland Force team played in the league. It's a big pathway to play international football, the league. Like,
we have that Europa Conference League as well, where I think probably in the next year or two, it'll be Garden Head and Norris team, and Bowes gave it a good bash this year.
Like, you know what I mean? And like, Bowes weren't playing now, Muggs and Pauk, you know what I mean?
No, they're serious. Very well, like, yeah.
So we play Panathinaikos up a well pre-season. They were brilliant as well. Like, and obviously Pauk, and I think in the same league as them in Greece.
Yeah.
So look, I've seen the levels, do you know what I mean? Because I've been there, I've watched loads of games because it's 25 degrees and in the night time, you're going out shorts and a t-shirt, you're watching the games. Ammonia played in our stadium and obviously we played in our stadium, so if we weren't playing one night, there was another game on, just go and watch the games, like, you know what I mean? So I've seen the levels of the teams and we're not that far off, like, you know what I mean? No. It's just certain things that need to be tweaked that would help massively.
Yeah.
But until you tweak it and until you have people that want to tweak it and want it to all go in that direction, then nothing's going to change.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
We have a short amount of time. We're going to have to wrap this up. So we go quick for, yeah, a few questions for him before we wrap this up.
Right. Who's the best player you ever played with?
Talk the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one, you know. In training games.
Training and games. Give us one of each.
Do you know what? Wes, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Wes Hillahan.
Really?
Ah, oh, man.
You're going to say Wes,
though? Why not? Like, you know what I mean?
No, I know what you're saying. But...
You know? But if you're talking about actual players... I'd say
actual players.
As Wezo's not a player. Oh, yes.
Like, no,
Wezo. Obviously, Wezo's playing.
And where did you play with him in Ireland?
For the world, Ireland, yeah. I'll try him a couple of times, like, but like a joke.
So very similar players. Kind of style, no?
Not that good. I only use my left foot for putting out smokes. obviously, Nazi, Tevez was probably.
Tevez. What was Pep like in training?
Class, demanding, like. Just different ideas and different kind of, like, even warm-ups and all that, circuits and ball-orientated and just different ideas, different way of looking at things and just class.
Who's the best defender you ever seen? Played with in training or in a real game?
Do you know what?
Be surprised if you don't say a certain player, but go on.
Who, Company?
Yeah.
Yeah, Company was a joke. You see, Company's work, right? Him and Lampard, man, they used it every single day after training.
Oh,
like,
were you the Lampard?
Yeah, Lamps.
Fuck off, yeah.
Class.
How good is he?
He was unbelievable. He's shouting, man. Honestly, he would never miss the target, never miss the top corner. Like, just everything. But he was brilliant with us, like, because after training and all, like, he'd call us off. He'd call us off and say, boys, you want to do a bit of shouting, like, you know what I mean? And, but he had, like, all the lads and all would lie down out of training or whatever. Just say you go up, you train with the first team. Like, Lampard and Company would be box to boxes, like, doing little drills and shooting drills, whatever, their own kind of stuff, do you know what I mean? So just that drive he had in him, just as a player, got him that high, like.
Mm-hmm. Best player in the League of Ireland right now?
Oh, that's tough.
Georgie Kelly.
You know what? You'd have to give it to Georgie, wouldn't you? But talent wise, Patrick McElhenney.
Yeah.
Ah, boys, you should see this fella play football. Unbelievable. Some of the stuff. He was injured when he was at Oldham. He signed for Oldham with us. And he was injured for the whole time. And I'm not joking, he had a quad strain. And they got back to Oldham just to use his left foot. And he was the best player in training. he couldn't use his right foot.
Unbelievable. Mad
shit like joke, that. Joke, honestly.
Come here, do you ever get starstruck when you meet a player? Or do you just be like, focused, fuck it. This, I'm here to do a job.
Playing, like?
Yeah.
No, never really, no.
No, you never really. Oh, fucking hell, I'm training with this guy. I'm playing against this fella, no?
No, not really, no. The only one really that put the shits up you, and he was a muppet, was Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? And obviously all the stuff that they're coming out about him and all, what he's like, but he go up training with him, he'd ping the ball at you, he'd take a touch, he'd turn around to Mark Hughes and say, like, we were only 15, 16 at this stage, and he'd turn around to Mark Hughes and say, what's this cabbage down training with us?
Yeah.
The first thing he'd do, like, you know what I mean? So he'd build a ball at you, take a touch, ball go up in the air, what's this cabbage down up training with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
All right, mate, have a day off there,
yeah, that's a bit stupid. I've seen people saying he's actually a gentleman and he's supposed to have this aura of a madman. He's actually a gent.
Did I see all the stuff that's coming out about him?
And all that? No, I've seen all this, but Shay Gibbon mentions him and that.
Shay's sound.
Yeah,
and a few other things, but... Yeah, fuck Craig Bellamy anyways.
Yeah. And come out, what was it like getting your first Ireland senior call-up?
Yeah, do you know what? That was...
Was that the highlight of your career?
Yeah, it was that against Jack. 100%.
Bulgaria.
Yeah.
So... Four start was against New Zealand and came on against Bulgaria for my debut. That was quality, like, because the night before and that Mick had said to me, he was like, you're going to play, like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
He said, you're going to come on. He said, you're not just going to play 10 minutes, like, you're going to come on, so just get ready. So I was like, fucking hell, you know what I mean? I go back to the hotel, you're lying in bed, and everything just going through your head, you're thinking, like, just hoping I don't wake up sick in the morning or something, you know? Yeah. Just praying. You don't want to sleep, but then you want to sleep.
What's it like getting the phone call for the call-up, though? Like, how would you find out you were in the Ireland squad?
Ah, stop. So it was out Paddy's Day.
Wouldn't be like
you,
yeah?
You love a little party.
We're at the van out. Me and Aaron McAneff, we were at the van out. We were at the playing Sligo. And it was Paddy's weekend. So we went out Saturday night. We were in Crystal. And I had, like, 9 missed calls off the gaffer. And 3 missed calls off my agent, and we were at the waking up, it was like 1 o'clock in the day. So we were there. He's like, oh no, what are we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, we do something last night, Mike. It was like, and he's like, nah, I don't think so. I said, oh, I'll just get in the shower. I said, I'll ring them back after. So I get fresh head. And I was meant to go down and meet my man all in the pub for Paddy's Day. Because obviously Paddy's Day, yeah, you can't go out and have a drink, like, you know what I mean? So me and Mike were getting ready. And I rang him and he goes, oh, look, just to let you know, you know, Mick was obviously on to me. And he wants you to go and meet up with the squad tonight. So I was like, what? No way, you're serious. But then obviously the demons going to your head, I shouldn't have went out last night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just went in then and done really well, like, you know what I mean? He liked me, he liked the kind of person I was, and obviously the Apple Health stuff and all comes off the back of it. But
yeah,
you know, obviously he didn't last too long.
No. But yeah. And that was it then.
That was it,
like. Quick one as well. I don't think we asked. Did we ask? The best player I ever played against?
Do you know what? When Charlie Musonda, a young kid, he was at Chelsea, Belgium. He's the best player I ever played against. Boy, I'm well.
Where is he now?
He done his knee and he's at the main out for the last 3 years. He went on loan to Celtic, Real Betis, played by Chelsea's first name a good few times, 5 or 6 times. But he was a joke. Honestly, the best young player I've ever seen in my life. Man. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right. That's episode 51. Wrap.
I've two more things to say.
Go.
Do you piss in the shower?
No, we don't.
What do
you mean?
Lawyer.
Oh, yeah, tell you a good one, right, actually. We're pissing in the shower. So when we are that old and we have a lad called Anthony Gerrard, right? Gas, well, Stephen Gerrard's cousin. Gas. Yeah. But any new player we had, he used to turn the showers on, like, you know what I mean? And when they get in, he'd steam the whole place up so you couldn't see that. And he'd be talking to them like that, but he'd be pissing on them.
No way.
And he'd
do it
to all the new players. Like, oh, yeah, so where are you from? What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself? And he'd be pissing all over them.
Oh, golden shower, what? And then the last thing I want to mention is we're having a hooly on Sunday in 22s.
Jeez, we nearly forgot that.
The
we?
Big one. We're having a 1 year celebration. So come on now.
It's not a live show. It's just a celebration.
It's a hooly. Yeah, we're in 22s on Sunday, so drop down, say hello, and that's it.
The tickets are on the Instagram. They're on my Instagram, and we'll be sharing it as the days come on. So you can go on and get your ticket. Only 15 quid. Don't be a mildew.
Yeah.
Boom! Episode 51 wrapped up.
Right, Jack, nice one for coming in. We appreciate it. Right. Johnny, take us out.
Boom!
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your wings in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.